Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. An important misconception which is found regarding Islam and non-Muslims is the fact that our jurists think that the testimony or the evidence of non-Muslims is inadmissible. It is not acceptable in matters of financial transactions, for example, or even in matters of punishments. So they do not accept non-Muslim witnesses in all these matters. Now, if one studies the sources of Islam, one comes to the conclusion that such a prohibition is not found, for example, in the Quran. Neither can we find such a prohibition in authentic narratives of the Prophet ﷺ. So the question arises that where is this notion? Where has this notion come from? Where has this notion arisen that one should not accept the testimony of non-Muslims? So if we study this notion or study this idea in the sources of Islam, and in particular if we study various books of jurisprudence, we'll find that actually it's based on a deduction which is made regarding a certain verse of the Quran. In the Quran, the matter of financial transaction has been discussed in the capacity of a loan, and Muslims are advised that whenever they take a loan, they should call in witnesses over the document of loan. They should, of course, first of all write that matter, and then they should call in witnesses on that document of loan. And amongst those witnesses, the Quran says that they should be amongst your desirable people. مِمَّنْ تَرْضَوْنَ They should be amongst those people who you like, who are desirable. So our jurists have made this deduction that since non-Muslims have been humiliated by the Almighty, and since non-Muslims, we as Muslims should not keep them as our friends, so therefore they are not amongst our desirable people, and as a result we should not call in non-Muslims as witnesses over our documents of loan or on various other matters. Now, first of all, it needs to be considered that the non-Muslims in question here are a specific category of non-Muslims, and they are those non-Muslims whom the Almighty has declared as kafirs, or they are people who have deliberately denied the truth. They have intentionally denied the truth, and as such have become worthy of the wrath of the Almighty. And we know that in the times of the prophets of God, the Rasuls of God in particular, the Almighty punished people who had deliberately denied the truth, so that this whole exercise could corroborate the fact that reward and punishment, which is going to take place in the hereafter, is something which is bound to come. So in order to corroborate this fact, the Almighty punished people in this world through His messengers who had deliberately denied the truth. And for them, there were certain directives, of course, which were meant to humiliate them, because they were the people who had intentionally denied the truth. So if ever one can relate this deduction, it has to be related to such non-Muslims who have deliberately denied the truth, who have intentionally, they were convinced of a truth and they still denied that truth. So therefore, had become undesirable. And of course, if this verse says that we should appoint witnesses who are desirable, then of course, such people should be appointed whom we like and who have a disposition which is akin to Islam. And they should not be people who have deliberately rejected Islam. The other thing which needs to be considered is that in the matters of testimony, in matters of evidence, except for a few absolutely certain instances, Islam has not obligated us to give an evidence in a particular manner. It has not made us mandatory. It has not fixed the number of witnesses. It has also not differentiated between Muslim and non-Muslim witnesses, neither between women and men witnesses. And it has left the whole matter to the discretion of a judge. If a judge is satisfied by the testimony of any person, he could be a Muslim, he could be a non-Muslim, he could be a man, he could be a woman, then except for a few cases, which I shall separately discuss, we have not been obligated to follow a particular set pattern regarding testimony or evidence. So in a nutshell, we can say that it is erroneous to say that non-Muslims cannot be appointed as witnesses on various matters. They can be appointed witnesses because the matter has been left to the discretion of a judge. And again, if the deduction which has been made by our jurists is to be considered, then also it relates specifically to non-Muslims who have deliberately denied the truth. And today we are in no position to witness or to know whether a non-Muslim has deliberately denied the truth, because this matter relates to one's heart and one cannot have any knowledge of one's intentions in one's heart, except of course if the Almighty tells us. And since the door to revelation has closed, the institution of revelation has been terminated, we cannot be informed by God whether a person has deliberately denied the truth or not, and therefore we cannot relate this deduction to such non-Muslims. Today, of course, we can call in non-Muslim witnesses if a judge is satisfied with his testimony. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ